Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books on WGXC
90.7. Added a couple numbers.
Anchor, Hudson, Catskill.
Listener supported.
Listener supported.
Hands on radio.
Hands on radio.
Yay.
I'm new at this. Woo.
Filling in for Antonio today.
Mm-hmm.
It's our friend Ingrid, who is also filling in for Ingrid.
I fill in for many people.
So I'm Emily.
I'm Ingrid.
I'm from Hudson.
I am also from Hudson.
I'm an adult.
I'm a child.
And we're here to talk today about books, which we're here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. with our friends Antonia,
Moshi,
Mamuda,
Gina,
sometimes Quinn.
Yay!
And formerly Maddie.
We love you, Gina. Feel better.
We love all of you. But Gina gets a special hello because she is feeling under the weather.
We love you. Gina says hi.
Hi, Gina. Anyways, we're going to talk about some books today. But first, we wanted to talk a little bit about the American Library Association Youth Media Awards, which were announced today. Hooray. It was very exciting.
Cha.
You know how people get excited about movie awards? Like there's all these
like
movie
the
awards
MTV
happening.
MTV Movie Awards and the Golden Globes and
SAG Awards and the Oscars. So I get really excited about book awards.
Because she's a librarian and stuff.
Yeah. Although we have movies at libraries too.
Movies are
I
nice.
Get excited about those as well. But book awards are kind of awesome.
Yeah, buddy.
So these major literary awards got announced today. And we're going to let you all know what they are if you weren't listening to the webcast this morning. So first up, we have the John Newbery Medal, which is for the most outstanding contribution to children's literature. This is a major award for middle grade or elementary books. What's the winner?
The One and Only Ivan, written by Catherine Applegate.
Hooray. I haven't read it yet, but it has a very cute cover, like animals on it.
Animals.
Right. So up next is the Randolph Caldecott Medal, which is for the most distinguished American picture book for children. And who's this winner?
This Is Not My Hat, illustrated and written by John Klassen.
And it's awesome. I love this book.
This Is Not My Hat.
I bought it for my nephew.
Aww.
I also bought him This Is My Hat. Or no, that's not what it's called.
Hat.
Where Is My Hat? I Lost My Hat? It's something like that. It's about hats.
Hat!
But it's very good as well. But I like this illustrator a lot.
Yes.
And he writes good books too.
Hats.
And there's some hat thievery in this book, as you might guess from a title like This Is Not My Hat. Although I guess he could have found a hat and said This Is Not My Hat. But it is in fact a thievery. And he may or may not get in trouble because of that. A little fish. Just think, a little fish in a hat. It's worth an award. All right, so now those are the main awards that we're going to share for the younger readers. But since we focus on young adult literature on the show primarily, we thought we'd skip over to the Michael L. Prince Award, just for excellence in literature written for young adults. And for this one, they gave out 4 honors as well as a winner. So the honor books are
Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe by Benjamin Alire
Sens, I think is how you say his last name.
What you said.
Yes. So that was one of the honor books. And this author, we'll skip ahead to 2 other awards. There's a Pura Belpre Award, which is presented to a Latina writer and illustrator whose work best portrays, affirms, and celebrates the Latino cultural experience in an outstanding work of literature for children and adults. No, youth. and the Stonewall Book Award, which is given annually to English language children's and young adult books of exceptional merit relating to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender experience. So this book won both of those awards as well. So it was a very good day for
good job.
Aristotle and
Jolly
Dante
good
discover
job,
the
mate.
Secrets of the universe.
Jolly good job.
2 awards and 1 honor. Pretty good. I would be happy if I was that author and publisher. And then there were 3 other, back to the prince, there's 3 other honor books that were named. One is
Codename Variety.
Verity.
Verity. My bad. By Elizabeth Ween. I think.
Yes. And I think a lot of people thought that might win the prince, the big prize. But I got an honor, which is an honor. And I'm actually listening to that one on audio.
Oh!
Right now. Not during the show, but we have some visitors in the studio. Hello, visitors.
Hello!
The third honor.
Dodger, which we've talked about, by Terry Pratchett.
Yay! Quinn loves Terry Pratchett. Quinn, who is often on our show, who has actually reviewed Dodger on the show, is a huge, huge, huge Terry Pratchett fan. So I was happy for her as well as for Terry Pratchett that this book won an honor. And then the fourth honor was for a book called The White Bicycle by Beverly Brenna, which I have actually never seen or heard of. And I looked it up and I didn't find it in the library system. So it's definitely the dark horse winner of the bunch.
The White Bicycle. I don't know. That sounds like a depressing book to me. I don't know.
Just might be.
The title.
It could
the
be White a happy
bicycle
book too.
Maybe I'll read it.
Depends on what it's about.
It sounds intriguing.
But in other news, the winner of the Michael L. Prince Award, so the one that wins it all, was In Darkness. Which is by Nick Lake. I haven't read that one yet either.
No, I haven't either.
But we have it at the library, so might have to check it out now that I know that it's so great. So another award we'll mention, the Odyssey Award for Best Audiobook produced for children and or young adults. I know Quinn and I both talk about audiobooks on the show a lot. I don't know if any of our other co-hosts are big audiobook listeners. But the winner for the audiobook award this year was
The Fault in Our Stars,
which is by John Green and narrated by Kate Rudd. And what I like is this is one of those books that's been on my to-read list for a really long time, and I like when it wins an audiobook award because then I know I should listen to it.
Listen to it!
That should be the way that I read it. Let's see, what else have we got? Oh, I like there's the William C. Morris Award, which is for a debut book published by a first-time author writing for teens. And this one went to a book called Serafina. So it was written by Rachel Hartman, and it's a fantasy.
Ooh.
That's I've heard really good things about. So that's exciting.
I like fantasy.
And then there's the Schneider Family Book Award, which is for books that embody an artistic expression of the disability experience. And the Teen Award winner, they also give books for younger readers as well, was Somebody Please Tell Me Who I Am, which is written by Harry Mazur and Peter Larangis.
Mazur. Sounds like Maze. Maze Runner.
There's the Coretta Scott King Book Award for author. They also give one for illustrator. But for the author award, it went to Hand in Hand, 10 Black Men Who Changed America, which is written by Andrea Davis Pinkney and illustrated by Brian Pinkney. The Pinkneys are a creative bunch, I must say. They do some good books, illustrations and writing. Then there was, I really like the Alex Awards because I'm an adult reader that likes young adult literature, and the Alex Awards are for the 10 best adult books that appeal to teen audiences. So I find that they often also appeal to adults who like teen fiction. but we'll quickly go through those because there's a lot of them. They give out 10. So Caring is Creepy by David Zimmerman. Girl Child by Tupelo Hassman. Juvenile Injustice by Richard Ross. Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore by Robin Sloan. My Friend Dahmer by Durf Backderf, which is a very interesting name.
I like your name, Durf Backderf.
And guessing from the fact that it's published by Abrams Comic Arts, I think it's probably a comic book.
Durf Backderf. Which
should be fun.
Durf Backderf. Durf Backderf. Oh, I love that.
Durf Backderf. One Shot at Forever by Chris Ballard. Pure by Juliana Baggett, which actually was I originally heard about it as adult fiction and then kept seeing it on young adult book blogs and being reviewed and mentioned as young adult. So I'm not surprised that one's there, but that's a dystopian novel as well. The Roundhouse by Louise Erdrich. Tell the Wolves I'm Home by Carol Rifka Brunt. And Where'd You Go, Bernadette by Maria Semple.
That's a good group of books.
Yeah.
Durf Beck Durf.
There's a bunch of those that are on my to-read list.
Durf Beck Durf.
And then there's two other awards I'll mention. There's many awards here that we're skipping over, but the Margaret A. Edwards Award for Lifetime Achievement in Writing for Young Adults went to Tamara Pierce this year. And she published her first book, Song of the Lioness, back in 1983. That wasn't her first book. Oh, yes, it was. Sorry.
I was looking at
somebody else's. And she writes some really popular sort of fantasy series with really strong female characters.
Awesome.
And I haven't read any of hers. And she's one of those authors that I'm really embarrassed to admit that I haven't read because I know that I would love them. But I think especially because a lot of her books are series that I want to read, it's a big undertaking to take on a new series.
I'm a strong female character.
You sure are.
Yeah.
You're not in a fantasy world, though, I don't think.
Yeah, I am.
Are you? Okay.
There's flowers dancing around me. Woo!
Wow.
No, I'm joking. I'm normal.
It's true. Sometimes. Somewhat. So then we have the Laura Ingalls Wilder Award, which honors an author or illustrator whose books published in the United States have made over a period of years a substantial and lasting contribution to literature for children. That's quite the intro to this award. And the 2013 winner is Katherine Patterson, who wrote her first book, or published her first book, I guess, in The Sign of the Chrysanthemum in 1973. And she also wrote Bridge to Terabithia, which is one of my favorite books ever.
I haven't read the book, actually.
It's a fast read.
It's
very good. And the guy that plays PETA was in the movie adaptation.
Yeah. I didn't like...
when he was a young man.
I didn't like the girl in that movie. But now I like her in The Carrie Diaries. She was really good in The Carrie Diaries.
Anna Sophia Robb?
Yeah.
See, for me, with her in Bridge to Terabithia, I actually liked her in the movie, but I didn't think I was going to. Because she was not at all what I pictured the main that character as. But anyways...
I didn't like her because I loved Alexander Ludwig and she dated him and I was jealous.
That's a good reason.
But now I don't really like him anymore. But I mean, he's great
now. She's okay.
But, you know. Now she's okay. She's good in The Carrie Diaries.
So. There's that.
Cha!
There are a bunch of other books that won honors and awards too, but we wanted to give some highlights, especially the ones that relate to the books that we generally read. There's also nonfiction awards and illustrator awards.
This is not my hat.
That one's so good. I was really glad that one. But anyways, we have some other books we could talk about. I don't know if you can talk about your book without spoilers. Should we do a spoiler warning?
I'm gonna die.
Oh no.
Seriously, I bursted out crying in the middle of my book, so my mom took it away from me because she thought it was causing too much stress. And then I started crying more, so she gave it back to me, and I started reading and crying, and it was like, oh my God.
It's really tough being a parent. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
Try to do right by your kids. It's really hard when there's books like the Maze Runner series out there.
Like, 1 minute I'm fangirling and jumping up and down on the stairs and, like, falling. And doing weird derpy things. And then the next moment, I'm like crying. Stupid books. I love you.
And then you read all three of the main books, right?
Yeah.
So it's a trilogy that then has a prequel?
Yeah.
Is that what we decided?
Yeah. It was so good.
And is the series called the Maze Runner series? Or does it have a different name? I can't remember.
It doesn't have a different name, but...
So just Maze Runner series?
I guess. It's the Maze Runner, the Scorch Trials... and the Death Cure. No.
By James Dashner. I almost called him James Jasner.
The Death Cure is such a lie.
Oh.
That title is just a tease. Stupid tease title.
So which of the three was your favorite?
First one. Because I didn't think anyone was going to die. I was sad when people started to die. People die.
Sad when that happens.
I'm literally starting to cry just talking about it.
Oh, no. So, what can you tell us about the series? Like, what did you like about the series?
I liked that, like, just when you think things were starting to wind down and things would get really good for them, that it's just, like, bad. It's like, you find out something new and it's like, oh, crud. And at the end of every chapter, you're just like, oh my gosh, did that just happen? It's really good. I really recommend it. If you liked Hunger Games or Divergent or Percy Jackson or any such book like that, I think you'd really enjoy this.
Do you think you're going to read the prequel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just really want to read the next Maximum Ride book, the last one. I've been dying to read it for a while. Nevermore. Yeah. I miss Iggy. I've only fallen in love, like seriously in love, with three characters from books.
Who are they?
Alexander Sterling from the Vampire Kisses series, Iggy from Maximum Ride, and Newt from The Maze Runner.
So I'm guessing Newt's your favorite character in The Maze Runner?
My absolute favorite character.
Is he the main character or a side character?
Well, he's not the main character, but he's a pretty main character. Mm-hmm. He's like the big trio. There's like the three boys that are like the awesome boys.
And are they all introduced in the first book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Have you read any good books lately?
Have I read any good books lately? I have. I read a book called The Tragedy Paper by Elizabeth Laban, who's going to be at an event at Oblong Books soon. So I wanted to read her book before the event. But it's called The Tragedy Paper, and it's a debut novel, and it's about sort of two stories. There's a young man who shows up to school. He goes to boarding school. And there's this tradition that the person that had your room the year before leaves you some kind of treasure. And the treasure he gets is from the former occupant is a set of CDs telling a story about an experience that person had the year before. And with the idea that it's going to help him write the best tragedy paper ever, which the tragedy paper is this assignment that everybody has to do in this one class. And so it goes back and forth between this character, Duncan, and him sharing his story of listening to the CDs and what's going on for school at school with him that year. And then also the story of, I'm totally forgetting his name, Tim. I think it's Tim.
Timmy.
Who is the young man who left the CDs for him. And Tim is... His story is that he's a new kid at the school, and he meets another person that goes to school on the way to school, but doesn't realize right away that they're going to the same place and never tells her that he's going to the school because he's nervous about how she'll take it. Because they kind of have this moment where they meet in an airport, their plan's been canceled, and they end up staying the night in a hotel and like playing in the snow and like being friends and stuff.
Aww.
So they have this sort of really quick friendship relationship, and then he finds out that it's not just a one night thing where they're just gonna like say goodbye and then never see each other again, but that they're gonna be sort of classmates, schoolmates.
That's cute.
And so then it's about his first year at school. Oh, of course she has a boyfriend. So
of course she always has a boyfriend. God, girls, before you go to the airport, break up with your boyfriend.
Yeah, it's sort of that's a good life lesson there.
Yeah. Ingrid's life lessons. Da, da. Cha.
So yeah, I think what stood out for me about it is it the writing was really strong. It really pulled you in. And it felt really believable. I liked the setting, the boarding school setting. And also liked it set in the Hudson Valley. And they weren't specific about where it was, but you could kind of figure it out with little clues. And then it turns out in the end, I was listening to it on audio, and there was a little interview with the author at the end. And she mentions like that it was based on her experience of boarding school in a way. And so she mentions where it is, and it was where I guessed.
It was?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I was like, mystery solved.
Cha.
Twice.
Cha.
But yeah, so that was a good one that I listened to recently, and I'm listening to Codename Verity, not Variety.
Yeah.
currently, which has been very good so far. It's set during, World War II, and the main characters are, what is that called? They one of them's like a flight person, like she ferries planes, but it's just, you know.
Pilot.
Yeah. But her job is specifically, like, she's not like a bomber pilot or anything. Oh. She's a ferry pilot. not fairy-like with wings, but, well, she has plain wings, but, you know, she flies stuff around. And a radio operator, and it's told from the perspective of one of these two women looking back, and she's been caught by the enemy and is having to spill secrets in order to save her life, basically.
Save her life! Ta-ta-da!
So that's a very good one. What else? I've read a bunch of graphic novels that were good.
Really?
One I just read today really fast.
I love reading books fast.
I had it on my computer. Where is it?
I read the Fruits Baskets graphic novel series really fast. They were so good.
Yeah, I feel like I like to read graphic novels in one sitting.
Yeah.
I can stretch them out, especially if it's a series that, you know, would take forever to read. But so last night I read the first, I'm trying to think which one it is, the first book or two, depending on how you look at it, of the Runaways series, which is about a group of kids who discover that their parents are not normal and are in fact supervillains, or at least that's what they believe at this point.
Dun, dun, dun.
And so they're trying to figure out how to get their parents to pay for what they've done, and they just discover some of their own superpowers along the way. But they're runaways because they have to run away from their parents.
Aww.
And then today I read The Adventures of Superhero Girl by Faith Erin Hicks. And it was very fun. It's about Superhero Girl and her adventures. Shockingly.
I love superheroes. Actually, on my way up here, I was playing the Teen Titans theme song, walking up the street, and people were looking at me like I was a weirdo, but I was dancing. And, you know, I'm not going to sing on the radio.
Well, what I like about her is that she's a superhero. She can leap over very tall buildings of at least 11 stories. And, or I guess at most 11 stories. And she's very strong. She can lift things.
Ooh-hoo.
And she's got like a big, strong punch. Like she can fight.
Boo!
But she can't fly.
Aw. Wonder Woman. Well, they say she could in like the DC, but my mommy got me an old time like DVD of her and she couldn't fly. She could just jump.
Well, that's actually in here. Somebody is commenting on her superpowers, and she says she basically has Superman powers. And they're like, "So you can fly?" And she's like, "No, I can't fly." And he's like, "Well, then you said Superman powers. And she explains that in the early Superman, he couldn't fly either.
You could just jump.
So there you go. But she's interesting because she does like actually beat up like big scary monsters and things like that. So she does like, you know, save the world, save the day many times. But then she also does simple things like, well, not simple, I guess, but like there'll be a cat stuck in the tree and she like tears down the tree to let the cat get out.
Normal.
So it's simple in that she's saving a cat from a tree, but it's not simple in that she tears the tree down. I don't know. It was fun.
Looks fun. I really like
She struggles with the fact that she doesn't have an arch nemesis and that there's not enough crime in her city. So it's hard being a superhero because there aren't many supervillains to fight.
Wow, you haven't heard that before.
And then she also has her brother is a superhero who is very, very, very popular and everybody loves him.
Who is he?
His name's Kevin.
Kevin! Is he a pigeon?
He's not a pigeon. He is a superhero. He's very strong and very good at what he does. And she's kind of left home to go off and, like, make her own superhero world for herself, you know, her own name for herself.
I want to know who Kevin is.
Because she was a little too much of a psychic. Well, you do see him sometimes. Like, she's having some struggles, and her mom's like, "We'll send Kevin to town." And she's like, "Oh, no, Kevin's coming." And everyone else in town is like, "Kevin's coming!" Woo! And is all excited.
Kevin. So, Kevin.
Yeah, everybody loves Kevin. He's a big, strong man. He has a big K on his shirt. It's kind of a weird superhero name.
Kevin.
I guess Superhero Girl is kind of a weird name, too.
If I was a superhero girl, I'd want to be called... I don't know. Super fast, amazing, beautiful, awesome girl.
Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah.
She also often forgets to take off her superhero costume, like her mask especially. And so like one day she realizes that She should have worn sunblock. And she comes home and she has like these little, like where her mask is all white and the rest of her is tan. Or she like goes on a job interview and she forgets to take her mask off.
That's something I would do.
Yeah. There's lots of ninjas. She fights lots of ninjas.
Ninja.
Especially King Ninja.
King Ninja.
Who wears a crown and steals her job.
Wouldn't that make him her arch nemesis?
Yeah, I guess he's the closest she's got to an arch nemesis.
Well,
she has a kitty sidekick, but the kitty doesn't really fight crime.
That would be so cute. It'd be like, rrr, 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 I'm a kitty, kitty, kitty.
And she has a roommate who doesn't, like, wants to learn how to fight crime, but doesn't want to be a sidekick. And doesn't have any superpowers that we know of, at least at this point.
I wouldn't want to be a sidekick either. I'd be like, psh, I got my own powers. It's called being smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a fun book. I'd actually never heard of it, and then I was just looking around for a new graphic novel to read and found it, and I read it today.
You're a fast reader.
It's not too long. It's 114 pages.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah, so it worked out.
Well,
are you reading anything good lately, or you've just finished up?
I'm reading a book about drugs because, I don't know, I found it and it sounded good.
Like a nonfiction or fiction?
Fiction. It's about like...
What's it called? Do you remember?
I forget. But it's about like how like meth, amphetamines, and how like a whole town gets enveloped by taking the drug and it just kind of gets out of control and everything.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I just picked it up because I thought it was cool. Anyway, it's been fun talking to you guys, or you listening to me talk. We love you.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
I'm an awkward turtle.
Are you?
Yeah. Ciao. Bye, Dina.
Bye, listeners. We'll see you, hear you, talk to you next Monday.
Next Monday.